Joined right now by Sarah Gon. She is a policy fellow from the South African Institute of Race Relations. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi, Kathy.
Sarah, BDS and Hamas, you have spoken about it previously. You've spoken about them too, or both of them and their relationship. But something that keeps worrying me is, how is it that our government is signing contracts and MOUs with Hamas? Europe, America, and Israel have declared Hamas a terror organization. Is there something that we're not seeing? So I thought, well, let me look at what the BDS narrative is. What is the BDS narrative on Hamas, and is there any truth in it?
I've not come across a narrative from BDS about Hamas per se.
Yes.
There may be one. I just haven't as yet come across it.
Yes.
But what it essentially is an organization that claims that whatever it stands for, it is a peaceful organization and is meant to achieve its aims peacefully. The problem is that the aims of BDS and the aims of Hamas are virtually the same. It's just that Hamas is in a state of war with Israel and always has been, and its sort of more militaristic, violent aims are not out there for everyone to know. It's contained in their document, which used to be called the Charter. But both have, as their sort of ultimate goal, is essentially for the cessation of the existence of the Jewish state. In other words, they are looking at a one-state, Muslim-dominated country. I can't think of a different way of putting it.
Okay. And what about Hamas in South Africa? Because outside of Arab bloc countries, South Africa is the only country that's actually welcomed Hamas in. I mean, is there a religious aspect to that as well?
I don't think it's so much religious. I think it has a lot to do, mostly to do with the ANC's history as a struggle organization, a struggle against colonialism and apartheid. At some point in its existence, it trained in Libya with Palestinians. And it identifies first and foremost, and there's also a connection to the previous Soviet Union. So it identifies the Palestinians as victims of colonialism. It probably sees them as brown and Israelis as white. So it's this combination of it's a very largely an emotional identification. The problem is it's not limited in any way by what Hamas says it stands for or what Israel says it does. It's a very emotional, and the ANC, Kossatu, and almost all of the left-wing parts of our society are generally very pro-Palestinian and very supportive.
So interesting, because anyone who's read The Long Walk to Freedom will know that it was El Al Airlines who flew Nelson Mandela out, that no other airline would take him. I also met a gentleman years ago, and he's done this tremendous amount of research about how Nelson Mandela was assisted by the Mossad. The Mossad as an Israeli intelligence agency.
Right.
They helped him with his identities. They helped him in ways that you cannot even imagine. In fact, I should probably pass that on to you. I think that you'd find that research very interesting.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of things that just don't make sense that I'm trying to kind of understand in the landscape, the political landscape. One is Iran, South Africa's relationship with Iran. Iran is the pariah of the world, and yet South Africa is signing these multi-million-dollar deals with Iran. And that also can't be political, because during apartheid, Iran was the only country that would do business with South Africa, you know, arms for oil.
I think it really comes back, and a lot of the government's sort of very strange decision making at the United Nations, I think, is all a reflection of seeing a country or a grouping as being the antithesis to the West, or opposing the West, or not being the West. And I think that currently, and certainly within the last say, 5-10 years, has been the paradigm through which the ANC has regarded its foreign relations, because it certainly doesn't make a sense from a human rights point of view necessarily. It doesn't. I mean, North Korea and Iran don't make a great deal of sense in that respect. But the combination of a sort of anti-West profile and a very deep exposure to communism for decades, and having as sponsors China and the Soviet Union, have a lot to do with it. And to some extent, I suspect Nelson Mandela was a bit of an outlier. And that was partly because he had working and social relationships with Jews as a young adult. And so he has had a very different exposure to Jews and his relationship with Jews. But once he was off the scene, the people who followed didn't have that relationship, and they were much more responsive to the anti-colonialist, anti-Western idea.
Very interesting. All right, Sara, thank you very, very much, and look forward to speaking to you next week.
Sure.
Thank you so much. God bless. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye. Take it. Bye-bye.